This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Alondra Villarreal producing today, and Mike Patton is with us as we are integrating a new phone system for Talk Louisiana. And as usual, and when we do these kinds of things, there are a few kinks, but so far so good. Thanks for joining us, Jim Donnellan, with us, and on deck is the incomparable John Schneider, who lives in lovely Livingston Parish and was affected dramatically by Hurricane Ida. 877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org. Hal in Monroe, who's largely away from the terrible damage of Hurricane Ida, Hal asks about this time, Jim Donnellan, as far as insurance issues. Is it more of a case that's a wind issue or wind result as far as the damage, and that there won't be these disputes that there were after Hurricane Katrina? Is it a better situation for policyholders this time?
Well, yes, to that regard, it is, because we did not have as much flooding, although St. John Parish got inundated with floodwaters that are now actually being pushed up the coast, if you will, from Orleans and Jefferson and St. Charles, that has some levee protection and penetrating over to Airline Highway, typically, the half of the populated area of St. John Parish. But even with Katrina, we were not burdened with the extent of wind versus flood that Mississippi, for example, had. With their coast open, no levee protection on the Gulf, they were left with thousands of slab cases where the storm surge just wiped the first half mile of the homes and businesses away. So there was no telling if there was wind damage before the storm surge pushed it away. In our case, we had a watermark, and the levees broke, and so the folks in the lower Ninth Ward and in Lakeview and St. Bernard Parish, when they got to their property and it drained out, they had a measurement on the wall that would determine what the flood policy covered, if there was a flood policy, and about half those homes in Jefferson and Orleans and St. Bernard do have flood coverage, or wind. Anything above, damage above the watermark was a wind event.
All right. Well, Jim Donnellan, we do have to roll, but thank you, and thanks for your hard work during these trying times, and we will be calling on you again soon. It's always good to catch up with Jim Donnellan, even in the most adverse of times. And now we're joined by the actor John Schneider. Many of us know him for his roles on The Dukes of Hazzard, Bo Duke on Haves and Have-Nots, Jim Cryer. He, of course, had a big role on Smallville, and he has decided over the last decade or so to call lovely Livingston Parish home, and he was affected dramatically, and he's doing his best to try to help the people in that area who were hit hard by Hurricane Ida. Good morning to you, John.
Good morning. Good morning. Wow, what a couple of weeks, huh?
Yeah, you wrote it out, didn't you?
Well, we did. You know, when you're given a choice, you can either cry in your cornflakes or you can put your Cajun Reeboks on and go to work, right? So what we have done here in Livingston is I've noticed that so many people are out helping one another. You know, it's a great time for communities to come together and to remember that we are really only as strong as our communities. So in this case, certainly our parishes, Livingston Parish, I think has proven itself to be very strong. We're out helping helping those who have been sent from all over the country to help us, bringing food to the linemen. This morning, my wife and I and our dear friend William fed, I think it was 100 National Guard that were housed up in the Albany High School gymnasium. So, yeah, we got hit hard. We are among the uninsured because we had the catastrophic floods in 2016 changed all the rules here. You know, you can't even get insurance unless your house is a certain distance from the ground, or a certain elevation, rather. And it's incredibly cost prohibitive to raise your house to the insurable level. So at that point, you know, you just have to take your chances. So we're digging out from under it. We have our online store. Actually, for a while, Amazon was down and we were up. So we were out delivering Amazon for about 30 seconds. And I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, you have an event coming up. I know that
we do.
Tell us more.
Well, we planned on this before all this, and people say, "Well, you're still going to do it?" And of course we are. You know, we don't back down. We don't stop. Truly, come hell or high water, we continue to do out here. So what we are doing is we're having a concert. We're having a movie. We're celebrating our law enforcement. We're celebrating our first responders. And we are joining. There's a group that is riding on bicycles from Orange Beach, Alabama, to Alexandria, Louisiana, to raise money for the families of fallen police officers. Mm-hmm. So we were planning on doing this before the hurricane hit, and we've cleared the area, had wonderful friends here. With the great thing about Louisiana, one of the great things is not only do you have friends with chainsaws, but you have friends with skid steers and very great heavy-duty equipment. So we've cleared the area. We are full go for Saturday and Sunday. I just got word that a wonderful American hero, Teague, who is one of the special ops guys who went into Benghazi to rescue people, is going to be here on Saturday and Sunday. Actually, I think Teague and his crew are showing up today with chainsaws to come help us clear the area so we can have a safe spot for people to park. The concert area is clear, but they're coming in to help. So like I said, it's you can look at it as a devastating, catastrophic event, or you can look at things like this as an opportunity to become stronger. And I prefer to look at it as an opportunity to become stronger, to exercise our freedoms, lest they get lazy. And we are going to have a wonderful, wonderful weekend here. We're also opening up a satellite church to the Church of Addis. We're going to have the Church of Addis at Camp Singing Waters. Their very first service is going to be a cowboy church right here at John Schneider Studios. That is Sunday. Now, all of this is free. This is our way of saying, hey, come on, Louisiana. Come on, community. Let's get back to having fun again.
All right. But you're not the reverend. This is somebody else's.
I am
church.
Not the reverend. No, I will be. I'll be helping with the worship service, and then I'll be sitting down and learning just like everybody else.
All right. Well,
so come on out to John Schneider Studios. It's in Holden, Louisiana. It's going to be a wonderful time. We're going to celebrate those who keep us safe and celebrate those who are the first people to show up when things get rough. We're also going to be remembering September 11th, 20 years ago. And it's going to be a wonderful time. So come on out. It's free.
All right. Now, you were affected in many ways, being in the heart of the path of Hurricane Ida, and the General Lee took it on the chin. What happened with the General Lee?
Well, took it right on right in the forehead. Yeah, my stunt car was sitting out in front of Miss Shirley's right off of Highway 190 here at the Tickfaw River, and a very mature pecan tree uprooted and almost turned the General Lee over, and it landed right smack dab in the middle of my mother's house, which was our store. Thankfully, our online store is still working. But just as the General Lee, I'm sure, thought he was safe, one of those pine trees snapped. You know, you can see them all at the on-ramps and off-ramps of the interstate. All those pine trees that have snapped. Well, one snapped in half and landed right in the middle of the roof of the General Lee. But the good news there is that my daughter took a picture of it, and that picture with the General Lee and the pecan tree and the American flag and the tree in the house and another General Lee, which is actually plywood that flies over that house, that picture went viral. So the world is aware of what's going on in Louisiana. It has a lot to do with that photograph.
Jim and Walker. Jim, good morning. You're on with John Schneider. Hi, Jim. Good morning, Jim.
There we go. I still struggle with finding thou shalt spread a deadly virus in the Bible. And we're in the middle of Delta. We've got problems with electricity and services, and of course our hospitals are just chock full.
All right. And well, John Schneider, let's get his response. I gather now there are events like
this. Well, my response, Jim, is very simple. My response is that you are completely free not to come. You can exercise your freedom not to come here, and I would actually be willing to die for that freedom, but I have no obligation to agree with you.
And there will be a game at Tiger Stadium Saturday night, and I have a feeling there will be a few thousand patrons there, even though LSU lost to UCLA. So life goes on, and there is some risk
in life. Life goes on, and it's always fascinating to me, the people that want to quote the Bible.
All right. Well, John, let's catch up. I want to hear about your movie when we talk again soon. And
okay. Good
luck this week. Always a pleasure. John Schneider.
Oh, thank you so much.
Fine gentleman.
And I'll see you here this weekend. You take care. And thanks. Thank you, Louisiana. You are strong and you are free.
And we'll be back after this timeout. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757, your number. Alondra Villarreal is our producer today, and we're joined now by Admiral Brian Patrick Forth, the pride of Little Rock, Arkansas. And in full disclosure, Brian is a cousin of mine. We grew up together. He's a little over 8 years younger than I, and when you're kids, that might as well be 50 years. But he has had an exceptional life and career in the U.S. Navy, and retired last month as commander of the United States Naval Forces, Japan, and is now on his second day in a new job in private industry in Washington, the state of Washington. And he is with us to talk about a few different matters. And good morning to you, Admiral Fort.
Hey, Jim. Good morning. It's great to hear you.
It's good to hear your voice. And before we get to your compelling backstory, Brian, you know what it's like to be in a difficult situation. That's what war people do, and people at high positions such as you in the U.S. Navy as an admiral. What do you say to the people in the South Louisiana area in particular who are fighting uncertainty and in some cases outright calamity after a killer hurricane?
Yeah, Jim, I'll tell you what, my thoughts and prayers go out to everyone that was impacted by Ida. You know, not only from Louisiana, but all the way up to the East Coast. As a Navy man for the last 32 years, my family and I have certainly had our share of challenges with hurricanes and the Pacific typhoons. And, you know, not just hurricanes and typhoons, but our home was hit by a tornado. So I know firsthand the damage that these significant weather impacts can do as it impacted my own family. And, you know, I'll tell you what, I'm glad to see that our federal resources have really come a long way, I think, since Katrina. But, you know, still, it's tough when you have to rebuild from nothing. A lot of thoughts go out to those folks that were totally impacted.
Admiral Fort was in charge of the Navy investigation after the collision of the USS Fitzgerald. In fact, there is a amazing story about that. You had just received a major assignment, and then, boom, this happens. You're put in charge, and you go to Japan. Before we get to the particulars of that, as far as how that applies when you're dealing with trying to find out what the heck happened, it was an interesting time for you personally, wasn't it?
Yeah, my family and I had just accepted my promotion to Rear Admiral the week before. My family and I had just moved to Hawaii We'd been there just a couple days getting our, you know, feet underneath us again. I checked in on a Friday afternoon to my new assignment. I was going to be commander of Navy Region Hawaii and Naval Service Group Middle Pacific. And after I checked in that Friday morning, the very next Saturday, I received a call and informed me about the collision and the potential loss of life. We weren't certain at that time. And I was immediately flown to Japan on Father's Day, that next Sunday, 24 hours later, and arrived in Japan and got to work right away on that investigation.
Eden in New Orleans has called in. Eden, you're on Talk Louisiana with Admiral Fort. Good morning to you.
Hi, good morning to you. I hope you're all doing well. I just wanted to address Mr. Schneider's comments. I think the only good news that came out of the destruction of Hurricane Ida was the destruction of the General Lee, which is a symbol of racism and a glorification.
All right. That's a different topic. Obviously, we've moved on, and you have a point, and you made your point, Eden. But we're talking with Admiral Fort about a different matter, and this involves disaster preparation and disaster strategy after a calamity, a catastrophe that occurred and affected the Louisiana coast and life for those of us who live here immensely. And Admiral Fort has been around the world in his 34 years in the United States Navy, and he just retired officially on August 31st. And when I say went around the world, it started in the early 1990s in the Persian Gulf War, and he had a child in late 92. And I think, Admiral, to show how these people sacrifice their lives for us, your first year after your child was born, you spent fewer than 50 days at home.
Yeah, that's right. Military families are used to what we call deployments. Certainly for the Navy, we have always viewed deployments as anywhere from maybe 6 to 10 or 11 months away from home. Back in the early 90s, the standard was about 6 months. And our first child was born in February of 93. And during the year 1993, my ship did not deploy for 6 months. But just to kind of show you how busy we were otherwise, Jim, you're exactly right. I spent less than 50 days at home with my family. We were either underway doing other operations, or I was on board the ship standing duty every other third day. So, sometimes even when you don't have the long deployment, that doesn't mean you're necessarily home every night.
And another listener asked a question that I think is relevant to your service, and that's about the operation in Afghanistan, which did not end well for the United States after 20 years there. You have served all over the world, and I'm sure every serviceman and woman was interested in what happened. Your thoughts about what that does to the U.S. moving forward and for people who serve in the military?
Yeah, a few thoughts on Afghanistan. You know, as the 20th anniversary comes up just this Saturday, I think there'll be a lot of us who are telling stories about where we were and what we were doing. You know, that was part of our dinner conversation I had with some friends last night. And just to give you some perspective on where I was and then come back and circle back to your question, Jim, I was serving on board the USS Nimitz out of Norfolk, Virginia at the time. We had just finished a major refueling of the two reactor plants. And I was actually leaving the ship the day 9/11 happened, and that immediately stopped me from leaving the ship as the base went into a complete lockdown. And then the Navy deployed me immediately after I left Nimitz to another ship out of Hawaii, and we left with the Stennis Carrier Strike Group for combat missions over in Afghanistan. We weren't the initial forces, but we came in right after those initial forces in early 2002. So it's somewhat poignant that 20 years later, the military mission has ended. And as you mentioned, with the evacuation, what I would offer your listeners and you is that, first of all, I have no insight into the policies or any of the particulars of the plans. I have some general insight into plans as Commander U.S. Naval Forces Japan. I would have been partly responsible for evacuation of U.S. citizens if we ever had to do that from Japan. And that was actually done in 2011. Following the tsunami and the Fukushima incident, but not during my watch. And, you know, evacuations, whether they are combatant or non-combatant, are some of the most complex and challenging things our U.S. military does. And that's only exacerbated by the tragic loss of the 13 servicemen and women. It only shows the complexity and challenges of something like that. But in my time, there's never been, I've never seen an evacuation on that scope and scale. to get that many people out. But again, there'll be a lot of talk about what happened because of people's perceptions of the way it happened and certainly the loss of the life. And I think probably one of the most important things we can do going forward, as much like I did in the Fitzgerald, is get to the facts, get to understand of what happened and the details of it. And then that's all part of what I call critical self-assessment. And I think that really separates good from great leaders. And if we do that well and understand it, then we can learn from it, much like we learned from, in some respects, Katrina, much like I learned from the 17 investigation into Fitzgerald. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot we can learn from how this transpired, but it doesn't take away the fact that we did evacuate so many folks, but really marred by the loss of those 13 servicemen and women.
Admiral Ford graduated from the University of Arkansas. He was second in his class, and that's overall at Fayetteville, a fine university in the Southeastern Conference, a degree in electrical engineering, and you could have worked in industry, no doubt, and done very well, but you didn't. What caused you to get in the Navy?
You know, Jim, I wanted to do something different from my peers. I wanted to get a little leadership training. I wanted to see the world. All those things are in there. But, you know, a lot of times stories like this always go back to a girl for a guy like me. And my girlfriend at the time, now my wife, you know, I wanted to take her out on a date. And I had told my stepfather, you know, no more letting the Navy or Army try to recruit me, you know, while I was a sophomore in college, wasn't interested. And some recruiting material for the Navy Nuclear Propulsion Program came in. And rather than toss it aside like I had hoped, my stepfather left it on the table and insisted that I read it and at least call the recruiter before I got to borrow his Dodge Daytona to take my girlfriend, now wife, out for a date. And so I agreed. And interestingly enough, the recruiter was pretty savvy. He had a friend of mine in the office the very same day. And I'm also remarkably competitive. And when that recruiter had given my friend, my shipmate, a pretest to see if we were qualified, I immediately said, well, I need to take the same test. And so we both ended up joining. He served for his initial 5 years. I kind of fell in love with the Navy and what we do, and I made it a full career of more than 30. Mm-hmm.
And you were quick to credit the women in your life when you retired last month.
I've never considered myself the smartest man on planet Earth, but I do know when it comes to making sure you give credit to all the right folks, you know, first and foremost, my first words at my retirement ceremony were to acknowledge my beautiful wife and the 31 years that we had spent together. And then you're right. I acknowledged all the other women in my life, my mom, my grandmother, who are both nurses and certainly gave me a sense of service and service to others. Mrs. Dolia Gonzalez, the mother of a young man who was killed in Vietnam in 1968, Battle of Way City, Medal of Honor recipient, whose ship I commanded, the USS Gonzalez, named for her son. And then, you know, as a bit of tongue-in-cheek, my dog Pearl, my border collie, who is favored in life, much to the chagrin of my sister, who I'm not sure if she's listening, but she got to hear that story twice now.
All right. Well, thank you, Brian. Admiral Brian Fort, great American servant. Signature support is from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services. Stay safe and stay tuned.